The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts, our minds, our imaginations with your fire. Guide us with that light, so that the work that we do in your Son's name. Amen. All right, you got to get the picture straight in your mind. Jesus and the 12 and the people around them have been traveling. They have been extraordinarily busy. They have been out feeding and healing and teaching and doing all those things that Jesus and the guys did, and they are exhausted. In fact, they're heading back through the Galilee. There's a good chance that Jesus was actually even going home, which the tradition now thinks was actually kind of, he makes a circuit like this, you know, constantly leading himself back home and to hearth and to mom. And while he's alone with just those who are closest to him, for the first time in really a long time, he decides to take this opportunity to teach them some of the more complicated, difficult, hard-to-hear parts of the future that their ministry is going to hold. What he's teaching them is what is to become the cornerstone of his ministry and life among us, and the foundation upon which Christianity is built: Jesus' ultimate death and resurrection. So here he is talking about this stuff. This is not just important stuff. This is it. I mean, this is the totality of the story. If they can't get their heads and hearts around this, they got a problem. So he's taking this quiet moment to talk to them about it. And you can just see it playing out. You know, it's got to be like a teacher standing up in the classroom, you know, giving the fundamentals of God knows what. And in the back room, there's... Anybody here, a teacher, knows that sound. In the gospel today, we see Jesus responding to that when they get home. I don't know. We all know that Jesus was far more patient than I am, but then again, almost anybody's far more patient than I am. But you can just see him all of a sudden just spinning on his heels and saying, "What are you talking about that is so important it can't wait?" And you know, from this gospel, we can't tell, but other gospels kind of allude to the fact that it was probably James and John who were arguing. James and John, the brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, the two men that Jesus dubbed the sons of thunder because they argued incessantly. And can't you hear it? You know, your mom's favorite, but Jesus likes me better. You know, this who's greater amongst us argument. That never happened in my house because we know who was better. And instead of Jesus being exasperated like he was with Peter in the whole get behind me Satan speech, he takes pity on them. He's like, okay, maybe we need to be a little more rudimentary in our educational process. He says, don't worry about who's greater amongst you, because he who is last will be first. And you could just see, whoa, where'd that come from? We have been sent to serve, not to be served, Jesus tells them. It is in serving others that we serve God. Now, this should be something that they understand. They've been with Jesus now for about 3 years, and everything he has done up to this point has been about service to the other, about reaching out to those whom society, religion, culture, politic, whatever governing force was at play at the time, has pushed aside. Jesus has put a tremendous amount of energy into creating dialogue, not just with women, but with women outside of his cultural familiarity. This is anathema in his day. Yet he's done it. Jesus has reached out to Roman soldiers. The Jews around him must have thought he was insane. Jesus has reached out and healed lepers. Those who even their own kind shun. Jesus' entire ministry, his entire life with us, has been about service, not being served. And think about it for a second. He is the Son of God. He is the living incarnation of the Divine One. If anybody should be served, it's him. Not only has he not asked for it or expected it, he has pushed it away. Maundy Thursday, who washes the feet? Jesus. My two favorite touchstones in Scripture are Matthew 25. He who does this for the least of these does it for me. That's what the window's about. It's also about a lamb who's really irritated. Whatever. But, you know, he who does it for the least of these does it for me. We serve God by serving God's people. And everybody knows my favorite passage, who knows me, knows John 21. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He doesn't say yes, and Jesus say, okay, fall at your knees before me. He says, then feed my sheep. Go out into the world and take care of others. Jesus has told us that everything that we know about what's important, about power and prestige and influence needs to be completely turned on its head to understand the will, mission, and way of God. It's not about the first, it's about the last. It's about the least amongst us. And so if he has not been completely clear, they're sitting around and he plucks a child out of the crowd, plucks a child out of the household. The kids running around, whatever. And the first thing you need to know is the mere fact that Jesus would interact with a child is beyond bizarre in the eyes of the people around him. You know, we get this picture, there's plenty of paintings of it, of, you know, the 12 sitting on the ground as Jesus sits on a stool or on a hearth or on something, he's slightly raised above them. And they all look like, oh, Jesus is speaking, ah. And he takes his child, and the child sits on his lap, and oh, you know, the child is beautiful, and oddly enough, usually blonde, curly hair, and blue-eyed. And is sitting there, and Jesus says, you know, he who welcomes a child such as this welcomes me. Well, what you need to understand was children were not considered human beings, or they were not people in the day of Jesus. They had very much the same status of what Africans in America at the time, at the height of slavery had, where they were not considered to be people. They were property. Children were property. They were property owned by the head of the household as long as the head of the household was male. And this is what Jesus reaches into this place, into this culture, into this mindset, and plucks out of it the lowest amongst them, the weakest amongst them, the most powerless amongst them. And he holds up this child and he says, he who welcomes a child such as this welcomes me. And they must have been like, oh my goodness, I really don't get it now. But it's pretty clear, isn't it? You know, we can step back, we can look back, we can ponder it for a minute. We live in a different culture in some ways and in a very similar one in others. Jesus takes what we know, what we are so sure is important, and flips it on its head. How many of you have your diplomas and certificates of awards hanging in your office or somewhere in your house? Really? Oh, you all need to get some framework done. Every priest I know has a shrine to his or her education. And Jesus says, it's not about that. It's about service. It's not about the pedestal. It's about the dirt road. Now, I would be remiss at this point if I... Bob's going to have one of those moments. If I didn't bring up the myriad, the hundreds, the thousands of photos that has just been strewn across our TV screens of Syrian children drowning, dying in their parents' arms, struggling to stay high enough in a crushing crowd that they can still breathe. He who welcomes any child such as this welcomes me. Jesus tells us. And in those eyes on that TV, you actually get to glimpse what Jesus probably actually did look like. Brown-haired, brown-eyed, brown skin. Mercy Corps reports that of the 4 million Syrian refugees, over 50% of them are children. Children plucked from whether it's a war zone or a safe place, plucked from all that they know, from their friends, from their schools, from their houses, from their toys, leaving pets behind and loved ones. Children have no power. Children have no control. Their parents are doing the best they can under horrible circumstances, but still plucked from all they know. UNICEF reports that there are 30 million children in the world today living in refugee-type situations, if not under refugee status. I'm a numbers guy, and I had trouble getting my head around that. 30 million children. He who welcomes a child such as this welcomes me. I mean, you can take the metaphor forever. But you know where it is. You know where I'm going. You know we're being called to some act of service here. Jesus tells us that's what you're supposed to do. But if you're anything like the Hooper House, you're stuck between two places. You're stuck watching the TV with your heart broken, saying, what can I do? What am I being called to do? And then you're stuck in another place where you're looking at the TV and you say, please just turn it off. There's nothing I can do. Well, first, we're here today talking about it. Second, we can pray about it. And third, there is some energy in this place about actually taking physical action. There's some really good resources in this diocese and in this state to help with refugees. We're just now starting to explore this. So what I want you to do is either let me know you're interested in being involved in a way that's really organizational at this point. Just send me an email. Or just stay tuned and see what we're able to come up with. See what program, what group we're able to plug into. He who welcomes a child such as these welcomes me. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? Amen.